I want to welcome you all this morning. I'm glad you're here. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to start in verse 17. Ephesians 1, 17. The Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. I want to talk to you about, we've been talking about the hope of your calling last time. I want you to think about your inheritance. I want you to think about what you have in Christ. And let me tell you, we talk about Mother's Day, and people are excited about Mother's Day. And mothers should be recognized, but every day should be God's day for the grace that He's bestowed. But I want to talk to you about the riches, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. I believe that we are part of the most unfair trade in all of the universe. And there is no way that a man could say, I deserve these things at all. We were talking earlier before the tape was going, before we started our service this morning. Stan brought up there was a guy who says that he earned his way to heaven by being good and doing. There is no way that anything you humanly could do could earn you the position that I'm going to talk to you about. There is no deed in the flesh that could be performed that would make you so deserving that God would do this for you. No way. And I want to start in verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Let me tell you, I am so thankful today I'm not worried about whether I'm going to hell or not. I am thankful to God for the grace of God that has brought salvation to me and brought me into a place that I can really enjoy the peace and the comfort of the Lord. I want you to see another verse on the fear. You know, I'm not. Think about the Christians that go around saying, oh, maybe lightning will hit me if I go to church. That is, they are in constant fear of the retribution of God. They are in constant fear. But I don't walk in fear today. I walk in peace. And so part of our inheritance has to do with the peace that we have. And so look, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. God's given me a spirit of peace and of a sound mind and those kind of things. That's what God has done. And so God is incredible with what He's done. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, look if you will in verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That is, if you're afraid of God, if you've got fear of God, There's something wrong, because listen, let me tell you once. Once you're saved, you have this complete inheritance that God has given you. He's not wanting you to go, well, I'm afraid to come to church. I'm afraid to do this. I'm afraid to do that. There should be no spirit of fear. There should be a peace. In fact, look, if you will, in Romans chapter 5. You may want to grab Romans chapter 8 on your way to Romans chapter 5. But Romans chapter 5, because that's where we started and we're going to come right back to it. We're talking about the inheritance that we have in Christ. And let me tell you, on such an incredible morning where we have such great things for moms, you know. I mean, mothers should be recognized all the time. They have such an incredible job. But the reality is that, you know, today is more than Mother's Day. It's a day in which the Lord made. And in that He made this, He also made us recognize Him in it. You know, I don't have fear of God anymore. I had fear. I remember when before I got saved that I in my mind, and I heard it in Bill's testimony as well too, is that you go through and you start thinking, man, I'm lost. Man, if the rapture happened, I remember Jason one time getting so scared he couldn't go to sleep at night because he thought the rapture might happen. You know what? Listen, the day I got saved, the Thursday morning, that Wednesday night, Brother Moore preached. I went home and all I could think was, I'm not going to die and go to hell. I thought the rapture was going to happen and leave me behind. It was always in my mind. I was scared, nervous. I had fear. I thought there were a time when, remember when that book came out, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Was in 88? Did y'all ever get a copy of that? Most I don't know how they distributed that many copies of that thing, but you know, the church got really nervous. People were making up testimonies just so they could be saved. Listen, you know, that never reprieved the fear that they had. That's an amazing thing. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know, that's just the opposite of fear, like in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Man, listen, let me tell you what, if you're at peace, it's the opposite of fear. Man, there was a time when I was afraid before God. I thought, and there was times when I thought God would judge me for my sin, which brought what? But the moment I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, guess what happened? Peace came on. Let me tell you, that's an amazing thing. I was not struggling with it anymore. But that night when I drove home from Brother Moore, man, it was going through my mind. They all think you're lost. You're lost. You know you're lost. But inside there was that pride and it kept saying this to me. It kept saying, you're okay. They really thought you were a Christian. I'm like, but I'm not a Christian. Oh, but they think you are. That's all that matters. You see, nothing you do can remove the guilt. Once you've been in the inheritance of God, let me tell you, peace has got to bound in your heart. Go to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, here's just the opposite action. Here's a couple that was at peace with God. And because of their sin and their actions, they have become fearful of God. You see, that's the fear that we start out with. We're not born in the image of God. We were born in the image of Adam. And being in the image of Adam, we know our guilt. I love children. You know, I think the parents really try to encourage it, you know? Like, hey, you guys got to have a lot of kids, you know? And in the back, they're going like this. Knowing what they're going to go through. And you know, the worst thing is it wax worse and worse with every generation. So the next generation is going to be a little, you know, may grandmothers not live as long. That would be grace. In Genesis chapter 3, I want you to see this. Their eyes were open and they became in fear of God. But God in the inheritance of the saints haven't given you the spirit of fear. God hasn't given you fear. That's you. If you're afraid of God, it's because you're lost. Verse 7. Genesis 3, verse 7. The Bible says this. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Why would they have done that? Hey, there's only one word. They feared God. They feared the retribution of God. They feared the judgment of God. They were in fear, and therefore they sewed things on so that their fear would be covered up. But I want you to understand that what they sewed on themselves, their fig leaves, represented nothing more than religious acts. And it never got rid of the fear. See, you can become as religious as all get out. And you know, there's something, it's kind of weird. I don't know how you guys have felt. How many, when they came to a Grace Church, felt kind of weird, tingly, like, ooh, something weird's going on here. I remember going to Brother Moore's and it felt like you could cut it with a knife. As long as I hung out with the Methodist where I grew up, I was very comfortable. You know why? Yeah, there was. We knew everybody. It felt comfortable to us. You get out of that environment and you pop them right in the middle of a grace conference. Let me tell you what, it'll flat freak you out. Why? Because you don't have the protection of your family and friends. And so what happens in places like Bible camp, I remember some great Bible camps back in the past, boy. And the reason Bible camp, so many people got saved was why? All their comfort zone, their TV, all the things they could find comfort in was what? Gone. And all they heard was preaching all the time. And when you do that, let me tell you, for 2 months, I felt like the preacher was preaching at me, Brother Moore, was preaching at me every time. He'd say things, and I'm thinking, how did he know that about me? And it wasn't that he knew anything about me. He knew what the Holy Spirit said about man. And I just happened to be a man. And when I say man, I mean mankind, not man-woman. You understand? So, in Genesis chapter 3, watch this. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among them, amongst the trees of the garden. Why would they have hidden themselves from God? Fear. Well, part of the inheritance that you have is that you should not have the spirit of fear. Once you've been adopted into the family of God, you ought not to fear. It'd be like a child that's been adopted into the family wondering, well, I wonder if I still have a family. Why, you got the adoption papers that prove you're part of that family and that peace. Look, if you will, back in Romans chapter 8. So we're talking about the inheritance that we have in the saints. Well, we don't have an inheritance that causes fear. We have an inheritance that causes peace and relaxation. Why? Hey, I know I'm a child of God. I'm not becoming a child of God. I'm not being evolved into a child of God. I am a child of God by the act of Christ. Go to Romans chapter 8. We were in verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to what? You haven't got that spirit of bondage. You don't have to worry anymore. Everybody just take a deep breath. Just relax for a minute. Just relax. You know what? You're either saved or lost here this morning. God wants you saved. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. I think about why there's more women that normally come to church than men. And I believe it's because they have that motherly instinct wanting that child to have the knowledge of God. I do. I believe it is a direct relationship to a mother's nurturing spirit that will get, hey, there's a mom. Romans chapter 8. So this spirit of fear, but watch what he says. But you have received the spirit of adoption by where we cry, Abba, Father. Say Abba.
Abba.
That word is like saying daddy. It would be like you coming to my dad and not being adopted, and Stan goes up and says, hey, Dad. My dad would look at him like, who are you? You understand? There wouldn't be any peace. Wouldn't be any acceptance. But no matter what I do, I'm still in the family. They can't denounce me. I am a that gives you a peace. It also can get you into a few arguments with brothers and sisters occasionally. But hey, you've been given the spirit of adoption. You've been given... God, hey, listen, when God puts you into that body, you got this body here. The fear goes away. There's no fear. There's peace. There's peace over here. We have peace with God, Romans chapter 5. Once you have peace with God, let me tell you, there is that incredible relaxation that happens the moment you get saved. I can tell you the day I got saved, that Thursday morning around 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, I can tell you that there was a struggle inside me the first part. I prayed for 2 hours. Lord, if I'm lost. See, you don't want to start out if I'm lost. That was the first mistake. Lord, I'll do anything if you will save me. Well, come on. I mean, no peace. When I got to the end of that 2-hour prayer and I'm just crying like a little baby, I said, Lord, you know the problem with me is I am lost. When I said that, buddy, the whole thing started coming crystal clear. The problem was I was lost. And the moment I trusted Christ, I realized that if what He did at the cross wasn't enough, and listen, ain't nothing I'm going to humanly do that will impress God so much that He'll say, oh, look at that Barry. That charming little boy. Ooh, he's so cute. I think I'll save him. Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And boy, the moment I trusted Christ, that peace came over me and I realized it wasn't about me that saved me. It's about the act of God offering up His Son for me. And with not that grace poured upon me, I was lost, going to hell. Then He says in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, then if the Spirit is bearing witness, don't you think you'd be at peace a little bit? What do you think would be the doubtful things that would go through your mind? Yeah, did I do enough? I mean, that's not salvation. Have I said enough prayers? Did I have enough faith? You know, always doubting. Well, would that give you the spirit of peace? Fear. It's amazing. He says in verse 17, and the children then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. If children, then heirs of God. Listen, I'm not wondering whether I'm in the heirship of my family. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know, that's what allows us to go forward. So the realization is that as we, as Christians, come into the family of God, there ought to be a relaxation. There ought to be a knowledge of the inheritance. You know, we ought to know that everything that is happening in our lives is happening because He needs it to happen. That's why Romans 8:28. Skip down to verse 28. In verse 28, Romans 8:28, the Bible says this, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Well, then whatever happens in here, we ought to relax about. Amen? We ought to chill out. It ought not to be I wonder what God is up to. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with God has a plan for your life. And He's going to shape and mold you in a way that will make you a better person. And I tell you, it can get extreme. Having lost a son. Let me tell you. You say, well, how could that work for your good? God said it would. I believe God. Say, well, what came good out of it? Well, I can tell you it broke my heart. Probably was the best thing. Allows arrogance to leave your balloon. Maybe more preachers need things broken in their lives so they'll be better preachers. I hope you never have to have that. Maybe my pride had gotten so big and God had a way of humbling me. I guarantee you, folks, I had peace through my son's death. Not that I didn't cry, not that I didn't miss him. But I knew whatever was happening. And I stood over his body. I'm telling you that there is a lack. I was a control freak. I don't know how many people in here ever been a control freak, always wanting to control. It was that old Humpty Dumpty story. They couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I would have glued the pieces together if I could have. But see, it was beyond my human control. And that was the best thing about it. You know, that was the best part of it, was I knew it was in God's control. So how could you have done that? While I sat over his dead little body, I would have done anything. You understand? Anything. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, this is far beyond anything I've ever done. And the Lord didn't say anything, but it was as if He said, relax, I got it in control. It's okay. That was the same night I went to jail. They thought I was the cause of the accident. Finally, they got it straight. But you know what? I've got to tell you that at that moment, I would have never thought in my mind that there would have been a peace going on. But there was a peace, and the reason there was a peace was really, really simple. Because God was in it. Y'all understand? God's hand was in it. My father-in-law, T.D. Holloway, died. One of my brother's brother-in-laws was with him on the moment he died. You know what he was doing? Pointing up to glory. Peace and death. Darkest moment of what you would think. Man, this has got to be bad. In that inheritance, in that saint, he was anticipating the look. There was a lady named Mrs. Hunter that was down the road from us, and I went to Mrs. Hunter's side of her bed and where she was dying in the hospital. And she said, "Preacher, I'm so glad you came. I heard a lot about you. I hear you really have brought a life Amos Street." I said, "I don't know about all that." She says, "You know, I am so looking forward to this." I said, "What?" She says, "Dying. All my life since I've been saved, 42 years, I wanted to see the Lord. No fear, just peace, just relaxation." And I watched that lady take her last breath with a smile on her face. And I thought, "Lord, let me be that kind of a Christian. Let me not be one that struggles and in bitterness in their old age as if they've been dealt bad hands." Here was a lady of 86 years of age anticipating, excitedly wanting to be with the Lord. She says, "I'm in pain, but I can feel the pain releasing from my body." Man, I sat there with tears. I said, "Man, I've seen Christianity today." I knew that lady was saved, gave a great testimony of salvation. 42 years of saw herself as lost, going to hell. May all mothers have saved children. May all children have that peace of God. You see, God anticipated a great moment of time for you to be saved. And you know what? There isn't anybody here that God doesn't want to save.
Amen. That's right.
He wants you to have the peace. You know, I sat there and struggled and struggled and struggled for 2 months with my salvation. I went over it in my mind time and time again. And as we study the book of Ephesians, listen to what Paul prays about. We're going to probably come back to Romans chapter 8, but go to where we're studying in Ephesians chapter 1. And I just want you to listen to what Paul's prayer is about. Paul isn't praying, "Lord, make me rich." Paul isn't praying, "Lord, make me a better person." Paul is praying that these Ephesians might understand this hope. Wow. I bet you Paul would pray that for you. In Ephesians chapter 1, look if you will in verse 16. "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Here's what he made mention of in the prayers. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him." That's an odd prayer. Most prayers today go like this: "Father, bless this church as we need a new computer system. Lord, we need a new wing added on." Very few prayers are, "Lord, give us some wisdom and the knowledge of you. Let me have a relationship so that when I walk, all I can smell is the fumes of your grace." And the selfish wants and needs that we normally anticipate and desire, that they would be ripped away from us. And that our desire would be Him. And He would be the point of our affection. See, I don't love Brenda more. I love the Lord more. And by loving Him more, I can love her more. You see, the peace of God. Paul's wanting you to have that knowledge, because knowledge is power. It's peace. It's comfort. Listen, let me tell you what. He wants you to be filled with this knowledge. Why? So you can go around saying, "Oh, I know how to rightly divide." I mean, sometimes grace believers get so pious. Amen?
Amen.
Man, lose the pious. Folks, this is nothing but humility at the line of grace. Grace preachers get an attitude. Well, maybe they need to lose a son. It'll stop a bad attitude. It did in me. Hey, I'm making mention of you in prayer. That you'd be filled with the spirit of wisdom and the revelation. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of your call. Listen, this world is not my own. I mean, we go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. People say, I want to please God. Well, you don't please God by your actions. You please God by faith. In fact, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, this is what it says. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Boy, that's important, isn't it? But what I want you to see is that a lot of people had hope they never saw. But it never stopped them from hoping and understanding the hope. Remember He said, know what is the hope of your calling. Listen, I anticipate, you know what? I've got two basic hopes. One, that I'll die. You say, well, that's pretty strange, preacher. You hope to die? I do. Or, number two, go up in the rapture. You say, well, how can that be? Let me tell you, in Philippians, He says, I'm betwixt the two. Having a desire to depart, which is far better, He said. But to abide is better for you. He said, but what I choose, I wot not. Man, listen, let me tell you, Paul anticipated the hope of his calling. He had peace about the hope. Hey, listen, leaving this earth is not a bad thing. The pain, the heartache, the tension, the stresses, the things that life brings. I can tell you that Jonathan is far better than I. The Bible says He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more pain. Oh yeah, we want the extra pain, don't we? Give me an extra dose of extra pain. And you know what's so fascinating about human? Is how they like to cause pain on each other. Inflict pain. Oh, husbands and wives do it to themselves all the time, don't they? They know what button to push. You want to cop an attitude? Push the A button. Whoo! Now, most families don't get up and they quote Bible verses to each other. It's like, where's the A button? I want to push the A button today. I love you. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Ooh, that gets my goat. That's why she's pushing it. You want to get her goat? You know the button to push. In my house, you want to get to Brenda's goat? Just leave the seat up. Bless God, that seat has to come down. No, geez. May all seats come down. Now, why that gets a woman's goat, I don't know. I mean, they can pull the seat down just as well as we can lift it up. But, buddy, that's a goat pusher, man. Just push that button. Humans, we want to inflict pain. And you know what's weird is we want to inflict the pain to the people that we love the most. Isn't that weird? That's weird to me. Yeah, let's stick around this world a little bit more. Gosh, we're having fun, aren't we? Hebrews chapter 11, watch this. I'm just going to cut into the context. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Persuaded of them. That's what people need to be today, is persuaded of the hope. Amen? Persuaded into the point that it will drive you on. And embrace them. And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know the problem with most Americans today is they think this is their home. Hey folks, I don't even belong here. I don't belong here. I am not human. Are you human? The Bible says we're new creatures. Ought to be something different about you. Say, I'm not human. That's weird saying that, isn't it? You're thinking, I am too. Are you human? I'm not. I've been made a new creature in Christ. Things that were desirable down here is no longer desirable. Now my anticipation, He says, look above. Set your affections on things above. Why? I'm a new creature. I've got different hopes. Used to be, my hope was this world and happiness. How many in their mind as little girls and little boys thought, man, I'm going to get married, I'm going to have that white picket fence, and there's going to be love in the air. Things will change here soon, Lord, don't worry. Reality will set in. It's like, hey, come on, folks. Reality starts setting in. That little picture, that fantasy of our lives aren't really true. We need a different hope. We need a different direction for our lives. And the only way to do that is to change what you are. How do you do that? By trusting Christ. And all of a sudden, your life is different because your focus is not on the things of this world or the anticipation. Hey, do we still live in the world? Yeah, but the Bible says we war not after the flesh. We walk in the flesh, he says, but we don't war after it. Why? Hey, this isn't our fight. Am I already seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Say amen. Amen. Then what am I worried about? We're always worried. Man, listen, all I can tell you is this morning you need to relax in what is the hope of your calling. Look, if you will, in verse 14. Now watch this. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if it had been mindful of the country from whence they came out of, they might have opportunity to have returned. See, I changed countries. I'm looking for a different place than where I was. Where I was lost and blind. Where I was darkness and confusion. Where I was, now I've been enlightened and have peace and joy and happiness and anticipation of eternal life. Folks, I have been given eternal life. The wages of sin is, but the gift of God is, how long is eternal life? I'm always confused. People say, what do you mean eternal life? You don't think you can lose your salvation? Well, if he gave me a gift, this is the gift, and he gave me that which is eternal life, how long is eternity? Is there anything you can do to lose it? That's why he says in Romans chapter 8, there's neither death nor height nor principality. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Why? Because he gave you eternal life. That should bring about an incredible smile on your face, which you guys are not doing. Just think. There are those that are walking around us that are human, that don't have a Savior, that don't have a peace. And it may come at 9, 13, 18, 20, 25, 45, 55, and 85. That all that you know will be gone. As you gather your last breath, whether you run over by a semi, killed in a car accident, have a heart attack, your life is over. And from the moment you take that last breath, there is no peace. There is no hope. As you take that last breath, you will feel the flames of hell coming and seizing your body. Where you will spend eternity because you wanted to be human. The things of this world was all that you could think about. You wanted to gain it as if you could gain the whole world. But you know, the Bible says that he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul, what has he gained in the end? Folks, listen, it's not about material wealth. It's not about the joys of finances. You know what it is? It's about serving and having a Savior that loved you and gave himself for you. These people forgot where they came from. They were some of the richest people. Could have built cities. But they didn't want to. They lived in a tent. You know why? They were anticipating God was going to do exactly what God said He was going to do. Look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country. See, that's me. I'm not satisfied with this earth anymore. Are you satisfied with this earth? I see people struggling over just a few bucks. They start to pay the bills and they scream at the one they love. There's no money in the account! Oh, that's got to be fun. 90% of the arguments I ever heard my mom and dad were about money. I had their bedroom right next to theirs and I can hear them every Saturday morning as dad would question why she spent more money than was in the account. Oh yeah, it happens to everybody. You know why? Because that's all their world is about. I really miss the part. It's about Christ. About another country. See, this country isn't even mine. You see, I've got something for me. I'm joint heirs with Christ. Let me try that. I'm joint heirs with Christ. I am fascinated with the Hubble telescope. Anybody else fascinated with that? It fascinates me. I'm fascinated. They look in the Hubble telescope and they can find stars still forming in the universe. There are over 100,000 galaxies within spot of that telescope. Universes that have, galaxies that have solar systems like ours, just thousands of them in it. Planets revolving around. There is so much. Hey, folks, I'm joint heirs of all of it. Okay, let's be satisfied with a house in Del Rada. I think you got to have a house in Prattville. That's got to be home. It's for my sister in Collierville. Got to have that house in Collierville. Hey, none of us. Hey, listen, all that's junk, ain't it? When you compare it to the vastness of the universe and we're joint heirs? Having money problems? What is wrong with you? You sad about all the things that are happening? It's because your affections are set on these things. You're comparing it based upon numbers. If you based it upon the Word of God, hey, you would realize that this isn't even your home. This may not even be this may be the summer week vacation in the mountains somewhere. Your home is a mansion, folks. It is the house of God. You're accepted in as sons of God. And when that moment comes and He calls the church and He yells it with a trump and the sound of an archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means Jonathan is going to stand up on his feet. Hallelujah. And then we which are remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And He says to comfort one another with these words. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Peace. Man, let me tell you what. The joy of our salvation is the peace and the knowledge and the wisdom that God has brought to us in that salvation, that we need not to worry about what's coming. The Bible says it's far better. Paul says what he desires is far better. Man, incredible, isn't it?
Amen.
And yet people walk around today in Montgomery with no hope, with no anticipation. They're just working on trying to behave. That's what they think it's all about, is behavior. When what they need so bad is a Savior. See, Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's not praying that you have this wisdom and the knowledge so you can be puffed up. It's that you remember where you are in this life. Listen, this life is nothing but a vapor. There's a Casting Crowns song that says, "Who am I that the God of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I?" Man, that's... See, my life is nothing but a vapor. It's a fleeting moment in the sound of time. What I do on this earth is so undeterminable. But that moment in time when the Savior was on that cross, that time is all time. That time is eternity. I'm nothing but a flower quickly fading. A vapor. Job said it this way, "Man born of a woman is few days full of trouble." I want you to have the knowledge and the peace of Him. You don't get that out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, bless God. You get it out of Romans through Philemon. I am so thankful this morning that I have a Savior. I'm thankful that I've got peace. I'm thankful that Paul prayed that I would have the wisdom and the knowledge of Him. Why? So that I could have peace and joy and happiness and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness, which are the fruit of the Spirit. And I pray that for you. I pray that your life is different today. That your life is changed in a moment. That your selfish views would be set upon others as Paul's prayers were. And that you would anticipate the leaving of this planet as much as I do.